Good morning, brethren and sisters. Let us open this morning's meeting by the singing of hymn number 13. Hymn number 13. Hallelujah, Yahweh's name, from the heavens aloud proclaim. In the heights of glory raise shouts of triumph to his praise. All his angels praise your king, all his hosts with gladness sing. Sun and moon and stars of light, in your Maker's name unite. Hymn 13. Before the word of exhortation, we will continue by singing hymn number 4, the fourth hymn. Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, together such as brethren are, in unity to dwell. Hymn number 4.
Together,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. When Jesus responded to the disciples' request, brethren and sisters, to teach them how to pray, pleading for the kingdom to come, the reign of righteousness was the first principal subject spoken. Now we'd like to take our theme this morning from chapter 32 of Isaiah, which we read some days ago, which provide some beautiful images of the solace and encouragement that are in store for all those who endure to the end. As we've read recently, Hezekiah tasted a little of this relief, albeit briefly, as we've seen, just as the Lord too must have reflected on this beauty that was in store, which was to follow his dreadful and traumatic ordeal. And we too are encouraged to do likewise, to fill our minds with the joy that awaits us, providing we endure the storms of the current world and remain faithful. We wish this morning then to concentrate on developing our image of the kingdom in our minds, to resolve to develop this picture so that it will drive us and encourage us to endure until that imminent return of our Lord Jesus, whom we are here to remember on the table in these emblems this morning. Let us look at a few verses then from Isaiah 32. And we can see from the opening verses, which provide some very simple yet visual images of the contrast between conditions now compared with how they will be in the kingdom of the Almighty. Isaiah 32 verse 1. Behold, the king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. How different that sounds compared with what we have today. Fairness and equality everywhere, compared with now everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. In verse 2, a man will be a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest. Here we have the sense that in the kingdom there will be protection from the wind and the storms of life. And we know, with all its confusion and its complexity that we see around us. As an aside, can you remember a moment when, however long it may be ago, you ran up a beach, having been swimming in the sea, and that gentle breeze, whilst you were dry, now feels like a raging storm as the wind chill cuts you in two? And then you find the shelter from that chill wind, from a warm rock, which provides instant protection. comfort and warmth. It's that stark contrast, the relief, the protection that seems to be offered here. We have the wind chill of life now, but we are looking forward to the secure, all-embracing protection and the shelter of the love of the Almighty to come in that glorious kingdom, which will soon be here. We read in verse 1 of chapter 32, as rivers of waters in a dry place. What imagery this sentence provides. How parched the world is of the water of life, of the spiritual nourishment that the word offers. And we know that the deserts will literally blossom as the rose in the reign of righteousness when our sovereign Lord returns to establish his glorious kingdom, and the whole earth will rejoice and bring forth its splendor. Currently dormant, sleeping, awaiting patiently, awaiting to be awoken, a glimpse only of which we see right now. Have you ever walked or hiked a long and arduous journey by foot in the heat of the sun? Can you remember the dryness of your tongue against your mouth? And how did that cool first gulp of fresh, clean water bring instant relief, that refreshing sensation as we take mouthful after mouthful to quench our thirst and compensate for the fluid loss through the heat and through our exertion? We can't get enough, can we? We can't drink quickly enough. Again, the contrast, thirst now, refreshment and nourishment in the glorious kingdom of Almighty God. How the world longs to be refreshed and does not know it. As the shadows of a great rock. How often have we toiled in the heat of the day, metaphorically or literally? Not so often as the original readers of this word, I suspect. But it's not difficult for that occasion to imagine. How delightful is the cooling shade of a cliff or a rock face, providing once again the shelter that we yearn for. And this is what is in store for each of us who endure the heat and burden of this life. The eyes of those who see shall not be dimmed. Declining capacity of our age will be renewed. As we grow older, perhaps we are depressed by our gradually reducing faculties, but these too will be renewed, with no doubt far more than we possess today. The ears of those who hear will listen. How often do we hear, but do not listen? We read the words of Scripture. Do they always penetrate our heart and soul and mind for the refreshment that we need? We read, the heart of the rash will understand. And here is a sense of that hardness, perhaps that insensitivity we can sometimes show to others being made more pliable, caring and loving, less self-centered, perhaps. Such will be our assured security in the reign of peace, that we will be able to focus on others, helping and serving them rather than ourselves. And the tongue of the stammerers, we read, will be ready to speak plainly. Our sometimes indelicate and ineffectual communication will be erudite, understandable, and articulate. It is said that a picture can paint 1,000 words. So how carefully we should be at unguarded facial expressions. Imagine the ability to communicate the true heartfelt feeling to others without fear of misunderstanding. But in the reign of peace, this will be no more. How often have you thought of someone and the phone rings? And it is that person. For me, too often to take it as a coincidence. For we use, we're told, less than 5% of our brains, and I'm not sure I use that much. But imagine how we will be able to communicate in the kingdom. And I love this image in verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. That water of life, a deluge, a shower, refreshing and nourishing, rejuvenating, replenishing, revitalizing, cleansing us and the earth to restore the earth to its original glory. Is this the image that we each have of the kingdom that we want to nurture and develop in our minds? A picture with such detail, there is little room for other thought. As we begin to approach the time when we center our thinking on our Lord's commitment and his love, will we resolve to spend this time to enhance our vision of the kingdom this week, so that the future lives in our minds, so that the future lives in our minds, and by doing so reduces the opportunity for the other distractions and motivates our faith and develops our hope, projecting us forward? A challenge to you. Have you ever sat still in a quiet room with no distractions for 30 minutes, clearing your mind of the current things and focus on just one thing? If you can, please try and see how your canvas, your picture of the kingdom can grow, what color and what shading can be added. Verse 17, and the work of the righteous will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. What consolation and indeed contrast to the hustle and frantic worlds some of us live in with the uncertainty at one level, and yet the complete security and serenity at a much higher level. Verse 18 of Isaiah 32, "My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation and in quiet resting places." Is this what we long for? The reward for patient endurance. So how do we view the kingdom? When was the last time we thought about it? Is it abstract, two-dimensional, or is it a living picture on a canvas on which we, the artist, is still working and embellishing all the time, spending some precious moments each day on reflecting what it will be like as we unfold and reveal from our study and reading of God's word another secret given to us? How did our Lord then view this reign of righteousness? The Apostle Paul says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. At the transfiguration, our Lord must have been given a very clear insight of not only the difficulties of this life, but also the beauty of the reign of peace. And just think of the work of the angels in the garden. Having gone through what must have been the extreme of emotions at the feast of the Passover with his dear friends surrounding him, our Lord had the contrast of their beloved friendship and on the other side, the betrayal. He had the refreshment of the feast and yet the knowledge of what was coming. He had the comfort and the security of his friends for a moment, but knew it was short-lived. And as our Lord departed from the upper room and walked with purpose to the all so familiar garden and gave his disciples an instruction which is as pertinent to them as it is to us today, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And in verse 43 of Luke 22, we read, "Then there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." How would the angel have strengthened our Lord? Would he have said, "It'll be all right, don't worry"? Anything like this would have been pointless and totally inappropriate, inadequate, and irrelevant, and just a shallow expression of some surface care. We so often use in vain attempts to comfort, and I speak shamefully, in the same way. Surely the angel would have comforted our Lord with the vision of the kingdom, making small the short time that was to be agony, and enlarging the splendor and the glory and the majesty, enhancing that vision, putting those final touches to that perfect canvas, that picture of when our Lord would be crowned the sovereign Lord the King of Justice. And we must do likewise, so that we have an inner core, an inner strength, a fortitude to weather the squalls, the storms of our lives, so that we have a rock of shelter, a refreshing river of waters when we thirst, that we have the strength to endure. Let us then, this week, resolve to spend a little time embellishing our canvas, our vision of that kingdom, developing that vision so that our lives, so that it lives more brightly and more completely in our minds, and it lives in our hearts and motivates our actions. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And in conclusion, we read in Isaiah 45, verse 22, which we read yesterday, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out from my mouth in righteousness, and they shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. In the Lord all of the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory." For our memorial hymn, we will sing hymn number 255. Hymn number 255. According to thy gracious word, before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn 255. Brother Alec is going to close our meeting with a word of prayer after we have sung hymn 102. Hymn 102. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest with thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the saints thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Hymn 102.